Glad you're here already. Just glad you're here. Even before we get to the preaching. Been glad to be here this morning. Amen. Wave your hand. Nod at me. All right. All the same like sign. You're not glad to be here. Matthew 27. Last week we looked at the first set of these verses here, starting in verse 26. We've been looking all around the cross, all around the cross. This is what we want to do. I think sometimes we kind of focus and we get micro, and I've backed out a little bit and tried to go macro. I tried to make sure we don't miss it. Let me say why I'm preaching this. I had somebody ask. One, we think everybody knows the crucifixion story and the Passion Week, and I'm convinced that's just not true. I don't think everybody knows the story at all. Secondly, I think we're drinking from a fire hose most days between cable news and the internet and newspapers and whatnot. And we sometimes kind of forget some things that ought to be a little familiar to us. And so we're doing this not just because it's Easter time, not just because we're doing this just because we need to. We need to make sure that we understand what all transpired and let God speak to our hearts and be reminded of this. Matthew 27, let's read some of these verses together. Go ahead and skip down, if you would, guys, to verse 36. Matthew 27, verse 36. Stand, if you would. We pay honor to God and His Word, if you're willing and able. Let's honor God's Word one more time. Verse 36, and sitting down, they watched Him there. That is the soldiers. We looked at the political rulers, and then we looked at the soldiers, and I walked you through about 13 awful things that they did to Christ. If you missed last week, you need to go online to the website and listen to that message. Read my notes. It is barbaric what they did to Him on account of our sins, verse 37. And they set up over His head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." This not only fulfilled prophecy, but this was a mocking thing. Say, blasphemy and saying God's name in vain, all that's new. No, it's as old as this particular event. They were not behind His back. They were doing this to His face. They put the placard there, verse 38. There were two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. If you've been up and down Highway 40, if you've been up I-77, up into Virginia, West Virginia, you've noticed there's the three crosses. You may have never thought, why are there three crosses? There are three crosses because there was three crosses this day. Christ in the center and two thieves, one on each hand. They were condemned to be crucified. They had been tried and convicted, and Christ joined them after this sham mock trial. That is the occasion for these three, verse 20-39. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads. If you underline and highlight in your Bible those two words, reviled and wagging, we're going to unpack a little bit for you. Verse 40. And saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and builds it in 3 days, save yourself. You're so strong, you're so mighty, you think you're all that. Why don't you do that? You said you could fix the whole temple in 3 days." By the way, just for a second, if you've been beaten and scourged and flailed and buffeted and spit on and hadn't had anything to drink or hadn't had any rest for about 30 hours now, 28 hours, and somebody comes by and you were in absolute agony, It's like having surgery with no anesthesia. That is the closest comparison we have to what's going on here. And they come by and they mock you. If you really are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking Him with the scribes and elders said, you got one group, verse 41, a second group. These are the religious people. These are the best people spiritually, religiously, that this world has to offer at this point in time in this part of history. Verse 42, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If I forget to say it, they'd call Him a liar right now. If He really is the King of Israel, let Him come down from the cross and we will believe Him. Let me help you. They should have said the King of the Jews. They should have said the King, God's King. Instead, they use a political term here. They're more interested in their relationship politically than they are relationship spiritually. Whenever that happens in religion, you can mark it down. Everybody loses. Everybody lost. here as far as they were concerned. But Christ is not done, by the way. We're going to hit that next week. Verse 43, he trusts in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Basically, everything they heard, they just kind of repeated. It was the echo chamber. You're so this, you're so that. All of you people online, it's the Twitter troll syndrome. They just couldn't help but say ugly, ugly things. It is a barrage of nastiness. And that's what I want to look at today. All around the cross. All around the cross. Father, help us. Speak to our hearts. My mind's in 100 places right now. Let me just focus on the text. Would you speak to us? Would you help us? For those that are here that are not Christ followers, Lord, if they die like they are in their sins, Father, they're not going to be very happy with how they have to pay for their sins. I pray right now that you would convict them, that you would draw them, that they would understand that tugging in their soul is you, Lord. I pray we'd stay tuned into the text. Spirit of God, use me and fill me. I pray, may I preach with power and anointing, because that's the way what you have commanded, and I pray you get all the honor and the glory and the credit for what's done. We love you and we need you right now. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. You can be seated. Last week we looked at the priests and the Pharisees and we looked at the political rulers and then we looked at the soldiers and many of you commented, it's unimaginable to think about what's going on. And the reality is the drama's not yet done. By the way, how many of you ever been there? The bad day goes into a bad days and bad days turns into a bad week. And it's just a cloud and a fog. Nod your head if you've ever had one of those events and occurrences here. Some of you are pointing at people. Don't do that. And it's just off. If you want to think about it, you couldn't write fiction like this. You couldn't write fiction like this. I'm sorry, they're waiting on me to check it out. You couldn't write fiction like this. I'm good, guys. You couldn't write fiction like this. Make sure it's recording, please. You couldn't write fiction. What do you mean? You would space it out. He'd get beat on Monday and he'd have something else bad happen on Thursday or next week, right? You wouldn't boom, 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 boom in just hours. You wouldn't have the betrayals. You wouldn't have the kangaroo court. You wouldn't do this. You'd want to sell more books. You'd want to write more chapters. You would do this over the space of 500 pages and two books and two TV series. You wouldn't dare try and do this all in about 40 verses, 80 verses. And that's exactly what happens. It is one thing after another. By the way, all of it prophesied, all of it fulfilled prophecy. And we see it all just snowballing. We looked last week at the rulers. Again, if you missed the service, boy, I want to encourage you to check that out. They passed judgment on Christ. By the way, they were passing judgment while judgment was being passed on them. No one's ever condemned Christ and got away with it. Christ is the judge. He is the ruler of all eternity. He is the one. When you are disrespectful to him, when you are blasphemous to him, you understand completely here that you do not sit in judgment of him. He has already said that this is how things will work out. You can accept me or reject me. There was the soldiers, and they were cruel, and they mocked him. They did those things to him. There was the third. This is our new notes here. These were the passersby, the average people. Now, there's something about living in the South. I've lived in the South almost all my life, and I lived in the coast of Florida, the Panhandle there, and that's the place like no other, because it is technically in the South. But almost everybody I knew there was from up north. They had escaped the ravages of winter. Nod your head if you believe that about Florida. And so it was the South, I suppose, but everybody didn't drink sweet tea and everybody said use guys. So I suppose technically it was a sort of South and a sort of North. And there was a lot of folks there from Mexico and from Cuba. And so there was a lot of folks saying, use guys, do you want some beans? And so I don't know if that counts as living in the South or not, but we'll give it a shot. And so we're there. Some of you didn't think that was funny, but it really was an attempt at humor. That was all. And we're there. We're talking about average folks. There's something in our man, that, you know, just being a good person. Truth of the matter, that's about as good a compliment as we give anymore, isn't it? What about that guy? Well, that's a good person. He's just a good guy. That's a sweet lady. It's a good lady. And we've gotten our head somewhere that just average folks doing and trying to do right and get by and go home at night kind of thing. Nod your head if you're following me here. That God's okay with that. God grades kind of on a curve. And we tend to think that the that the axe murderers and the people like the, you know, whatever the guy's motivation was there in Austin, the Texas area with the bombs last week and the week before. Those are really, really bad people. That's Hitler. But the rest of us, you know, are kind of in the middle, and God's okay with that. Everybody goes to heaven and everybody's right with God. I want you to get a picture. I want you to get the documentary for a moment or two here on what the average folks, the good people, quote unquote, did. What the good people did. Look at verse 39. The Bible says they went by him and they mocked him. There was a large number going by. John chapter 19. Golgotha was close to the city on this hill, probably close to a main road. It was close to the large gate leading into the city. They came by and they mocked him and they abused him. They mocked him and abused him. Those two words there, reviled, and by the way, and only Christ was mocked and abused. They didn't do it to the two thieves who deserved it. They did it to him. Those words reviled and wagged their head. The word reviled there is the same word we get our word blasphemy. They came by and blasphemed him. It's no big deal to say OMG. It's no big deal to say put God's name in front of a cuss word. It's no big deal. You understand here that the thing that we shake our head at, that these people did to Christ on the cross, is the exact same sin I suggest to you a whole lot of folks are guilty of, I'm looking at, and a whole lot of folks are listening to the messages are guilty of. So when I blaspheme him, it is a horrendous sin against God. See, the average people treated God's name casually. They treated God's character inappropriately. They did all these things. Let me help you here. They did all this. They said they reviled him. They said they wagged their head at him. They wagged their head at him. Anybody here, kids or grandkids? Again, if you got to ask, you don't have them. You got kids or grandkids? Y'all barely count. We got the baby back there. You come over and feed it at 3 a.m. and you got kids, fine. Anybody ever had a child or grandchild roll their eyes at you? How'd it work out? Some of your Sam's leaving now. Sorry, buddy. And Allison was running out. Brooklyn's holding her down. No. He'll call you out too. And I grew up with a superstitious parent. If you roll your eyes, I'm going to try to help you make sure they stay that way. I didn't know Mom couldn't do that, but I believe she'd give it a good shot. Amen. My mom said she could hear me rolling my eyes. I still don't believe it, but I've never pushed her on it. I said, "Does your mom watch these things?" My mom doesn't even know that there's video existing of any of these things. If y'all ever tell her, I'll have to change churches and phone numbers and all and that kind of stuff. I'm going to do that. We roll our eyes. Let me help you. When the Bible says they wagged their head, if you go to Brazil and you give somebody the okay sign, that's like an ugly, ugly thing here in the States. When they wagged their head, that was worse than rolling their eyes. It was worse than... They were treating Christ with as much contempt as they could. Let me help you. They did it verbally. They did it bodily. Here's what average people do. Average people say, well, sure, maybe you are, maybe you're not, but I'm going to do my thing and what's right with me and what's right to me and what's right for me, and that's your religion and that's my religion. I got my way and you got your way. And they did this. And by the way, all that is mockery and abuse. What do you mean? What do you mean? How's that mockery and abuse? Because if he is who he says he is, and if he can do what he claimed he could do, if he is God and you choose not to worship him, again, the problem is not with him. The problem is with you. And average people saw him dying on the cross in agony, and they mocked him. The Bible says they mocked him for two reasons. One, he said he had the power to destroy and rebuild the temple, and he said he was the Son of God. Said it was the Son of God. You've got your, we don't have the time. Write in your notes there, right on the back of your program. Write Matthew 4:6. If you're taking notes, write Matthew 4:6. I want you to look that up. Because the exact same thing they said to him is the exact thing that Satan said to Christ. If you be the Son of God, do this. If you be the Son of God, do this. See, rejecting Christ is ultimately satanic. Say, I don't like that preacher. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm not trying to be friendly to you. I'm trying to say average people are not good at heart. They are wicked at heart. Average people are not Christ accepting at heart. They're Christ rejecting at heart. And we need God's Spirit to do what? To soften our heart and convict our heart and to draw us to Himself. And you know what the cross does? The cross puts that bright light there, and the cross says to us, oh man, He did that for me. He mocked Him. He mocked Him because of who He said He was. He mocked Him for His claim to be the Son of God. Let me help you. Bill Maher and all those people online, the folks who do the Holy Spirit blasphemy challenge on YouTube, let me help you. All the folks who say it's my day and it's my time and it's this and that, they are saying, God, you're not who you claim to be and you're not able to do what you say you're going to do, because if you were, then I would do differently. Say, I don't think everybody thinks that. I don't know they think that. I'm telling you how they act. I'm telling you how they act. This is what average people did to Christ. Average people did. One commentary I read said, the average person mocks and abuses Christ. They ridicule His claim to be the Son of God. They curse and profane the name of Christ. By the way, I'd rather you drop S-bombs on me and F-bombs on me all day than take God's name in vain. They challenge His power. And they don't respect who He is and what He said to do. There's average people. There's average people. By the way, all this time, Christ is what? 6 hours. There's the religion of people, the religionists and the government leaders. They mocked Him. Look at verse 41. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests mocking Him, and the scribes and the elders, and He said, saved others, He cannot save Himself. If He's the King, let Him come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. By the way, how many of you think people make any kind of promise, they know it's not going to happen, right? If He really is Christ, He's supposed to stay on the cross and die for our sins, right? It's an empty promise. So how do you know that? Because He's not only going to come off the cross, they're going to take Him off. He's going to come out of the ground 3 days later. He's going to be alive. He's going to show Himself to the disciples. He's going to show Himself to the ladies there in the garden. He's going to show Himself to over 500 at one time. He will fulfill all evidentiary requirements of any eyewitness testimony, and they still did not believe. Problem's not with the evidence. The problem's with the sin in my heart. I love my sin more than I love Christ. I choose my sin more than I choose Christ. It's never been about the facts of history. It's been about the faith that you want to put in. Because if I choose Him, then I reject my old life and I reject my sin. And I don't want Him to change my life. I want to do what I want to do and not have to suffer the consequences. And so doing, I do what? I blaspheme, mock Christ. I taunt Him and mock Him. They said four things. I want to park here just for a second because I think this will help some of you. Maybe you're confused. Maybe somebody's told you that Christianity is a bunch of baloney. Maybe it's not all that's cracked up to be. Maybe it can't help me. Maybe it can't save me. And so you've heard some of these things in one form or fashion. Let me help you. They mocked Him about four things. They said they mocked Him and ridiculed Him that He was the Savior. They mocked Him that He said He was the King. Look right here. They mocked Him that He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. He said, you're not the King, you're not the Savior, you're not the Son of Man, that is the servant, the one who was born of a woman, born of a virgin woman, and you're not the Son of God. You're not the Son of God in power. By the way, nobody's got anything new. They all say the same jazz. So let me help you with some things. Let me help you with some things. Number one, is He the Savior? Is He the Savior? Yes, Luke 19:10. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. Say, why don't you talk more about joining the church here? Because I'm not as interested in you joining the church as I am you being right with God. You confessing your sins, putting your faith in Christ, letting Him change your life. Church membership is a little ways down there. Being right with God is what's important. Somebody say amen to that. Why? Because that was his purpose. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. That was lost. Say, preacher, why do we do the five major events a year? Why do we have things? Why do we ask the ladies to come and staple a bunch of things together and have invitations? Why do we do that? Why do we put money toward missions and we do these things? Why do we do? Because that's Christ's purpose. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. That was his mission and his purpose. That was his desire. When I'm mad, by the way, with lost people, let me help you here. I'm on all sorts, right? Lost people ought to act like lost people and help me. And saved people ought to act like saved people. And Christ followers ought to act like Christ followers. Amen? There ought to be a difference. Why? Because he is the Savior. He's not only the Savior, he's the King. He's the King. Jesus stood before the governor and said, and he asked him, said, are you the King of the Jews? And he said, thou sayest, John 18, verse 37, Pilate asked him, are you a king? Then Jesus answered, you say I'm a king. To this end I was born, for this end I came in the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Let me help you. God's calling some of you today. God's speaking to your heart. The King has come. The King is coming again. The King is calling to you. Come. Everything's ready. Come. Let me change your life. Come. Pilate stood judging Christ, not knowing that Christ was judging him. He's this, the Savior. He is the King. He's the Son of Man. Jesus said, John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 8:36, the Son makes you free. You will be free indeed. He was the one born of the Virgin. That's Christmas. He was the one who never sinned. That's the witness of his life. He's the one who died in my place. He's the Son of Man. I don't understand all that. Read Mark's gospel. Read Luke's gospel here. Ask me some questions. I'll get you some research and materials there. He did this. He became like us to save us and to redeem us. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Some of you know this. John chapter 3, verse 16. Hard to go to a ball game or a football game or a basketball game, not see somebody with this on there, right? Bible says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him wouldn't have to perish, but would have everlasting life. Let me give you a little time out here. Everybody lives forever somewhere. He's not talking about duration of eternal life. He's talking about quality of eternal life. You can either spend forever living or you can spend forever dying. You can either spend forever enjoying the presence of God or spend forever enduring the wrath of God. You have only those two options here. But Christ came to do what? He was born to die for you and for me. And I love that whosoever. Whosoever. In the original, it's a real pretty word. It's just really hard to translate there. That all the ones, what we're going to do Saturday, everyone who comes, we want them to have some candy. That's it. Everyone who comes, we want them to have some candy. If you come help us pass out stuff, we're going to have pizza. We want to have pizza for all the ones who help us pass out flyers that afternoon. And everybody who survives the bunny suit, we're going to hug you and give you some deodorant. And we're going to do that, give you a towel to mop your sweat and all, because it's hot in that thing, because it's made of wool and it's just not breathable. And we're going to do that. We're going to do all those things. Why? All the ones who are here right now, all the ones who are watching right now, all those ones, God says what? All the ones who want to believe, they don't have to perish. They can have eternal life. We skip the rest of these verses. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God's purpose in coming and living and dying was not so that men would die in their sins, but so that they could be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from the punishment for their own sins. Verse 17, he that believes on him is not condemned. Say, everybody's okay. Wait for it. He that believes positively, not condemned. But he that believes not, what's those words there? Is condemned. Say it with me. Condemned. Religious leaders, soldiers, the average people, the religionists. Some believed, were not condemned. Some did not believe, We're condemned already. Say, when I die, God's going to put everything I've done, good or bad, on a scale and weigh it out. And if I've been nice to people and helped orphans and done nice things, then God will weigh that, and then, you know, or a point system. That's the new thing. You know, I got a point system. So as long as I have more points, good than bad. Read the verse again. I'm not waiting to be judged. I am already judged now. He that believes is not condemned. He that doesn't believe is condemned already. What do I have to do to be condemned? Stay exactly like you are. Stay exactly like you are. Why? Because I didn't accept what you said? Nope. Because I didn't like your church? Nope. Nope. Because of the guy on the middle cross. Because you've rejected him. He said, you're a sinner. You said, nope. He said, I'm God, and you blasphemed him. He said, this is my day, and this is my life, and I am the Lord God Almighty, and you are to worship me and no other. And you go, no, thank you. And you have said what? I don't choose you. God says, if that's your decision, then you're condemned already. See, why is there urgency in how you preach and the things that we do here? Because there's an urgency, because people are condemned already. They're condemned already. John chapter 10, verse 36. Thou blasphemest because I said what? I am the Son of God. Jesus constantly said that. There were the criminals. I'm done. I got 3 minutes. Can you listen to me for 3 minutes? Say amen. Still with me? They're the criminals. And I'll have these notes on the website if I've gone too fast this morning and this afternoon. The criminals, they mocked him. They mocked him. Look at verse 44. The thieves, the criminals also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. They just parroted it right back. They were just merciless. If I say the worst day of your childhood in school setting, is it when two or three kids just wouldn't let up? Is that a close approximation of school time event? Is that a close approximation? Some of you hadn't thought about that in years, have you? When they just all ganged up and they all were nasty. I don't remember a lot of verbal things. I was a guy. We just beat each other. You know, go home with cuts and scrapes and bruises and have to explain what was going on. Because if I told what happened, then my mom would call those people's moms. They'd get in trouble. Then they'd come to school the next day and beat me up even harder. And how many of you, anybody grow up in that circle of despair like that? But I observed people being vicious as I got older. Another class be out there, teacher breaking it up. It's horrible, isn't it? You ever been really down and somebody decided to kick you when you're down? Just not a lot worse than that, is there? Jesus is in agony. We're in hours in now. He's had his back tore all to pieces, his front tore all to pieces. He's been beaten, buffeted by those soldiers. They have thrown the heel of their hand into his face. Isaiah says that he was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. The swelling, the puffiness, it was miraculous. He could even see, much less breathe. The Bible says not a bone of his body was broken. For your bones not to be broken, then something else has absorbed all those blows. They've absorbed all those blows, and he is one swollen, bleeding mess. To exhale, to not die on his own lack of aspiration, or respiration rather, he is pushing up on the spike between his legs, between his heels, and he is pulling up across the tendons in his arm. He has done that for every breath for 6 hours. His body is covered with dried spit from the platoon of soldiers who has spit on him. And even when the people walk by and move off, when the religious leaders are done blaspheming and calling him a liar, he cannot escape his close proximity criminals who are in agony and using profanity and are laying into him. They said, cast the same in their teeth, just an expression. They constantly parroted it back. Most of you, if you're in pain, you want to be left alone, and you want somebody to come and console you. There is not a person consoling Christ. And the criminals mocked him. I don't want you to miss it. They ridiculed him. They abused him. All the bitterness in the world, all the depraved heart. See, I'm really a good person. I've given you some of the best that the world has to offer. They went by that cross and they showed their true heart. Wait for it. I want you to see Jesus' heart. 1 Peter chapter 2. Who, when he was reviled not again. Let me help you with something. He is God. He is God on the cross. If he'd have said, it's over, everybody there would have dropped down dead. If he'd have said, come off the cross, he'd have been off the cross. He'd have been perfectly healed. He didn't have to do anything he was doing. He didn't have to do anything he was doing. Endured. He did it for us. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Wait for it. Who his own self? Bear our sins. That's every bottle you've ever thrown back. That's every pill you've ever taken. That's every person you've ever slept with you shouldn't have. That's every pornographic image you've ever looked at. That's every time you've ever blasphemed. That's every time you've ever broken any of God's commandments. Any time you've broken his heart. Any time you've been disrespectful to parents. Any time. Who bore our sins in his own body? On the tree that we were dead to sins. You're right in margins. Who could not help ourselves, who could not save ourselves, being dead to sins. He uses a beautiful pictorial word. He quotes the Old Testament. By his stripes. The crown of thorns had made stripes in his face and his forehead and the top of his head. The soldier with the cat of nine tails had flayed the flesh from his body. It won't be long. The soldiers will do the final act. They'll come here through his right side. They'll come up through his rib cage. They'll pierce the pericardial sac around his heart. He will have all five of any major wound. He has suffered them all in a space of several hours. They will use a tool to get spikes from his wrist and his feet. His body will be out of joint, but not broken as far as a bone. It's more than jewelry. And it's more than a fun holiday filled with candy. By his stripes. Say, God could never love me enough because of what I've done. Let me give you Exhibit A, the cross. He loved you so much, he did that for you. Wait for it. Not for all the good that you've done, but for all the bad you've ever done. He did for you so what? So that you would not have to perish, but that you could live forever with him. He wants to save you and change you and change your story, and he did it for you. I love the old Southern Gospel song. It says, I don't hear it very much anymore. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Say, who did Jesus die for? May I? He died for those political leaders, Herod and Pilate, who cast judgment on him. He died for the soldiers who were unbelievably cruel to him. He died for the average folks, the good people, who weren't really so good. He died for the religious people who knew better but were so filled with their own self-righteousness they missed it. By the way, a lot of religious people miss Jesus. And he died for the criminals. Out of the whole group, you'd think, well, these are the people just going to die like they are. They are feet away from Jesus and swearing at him and being ugly to him. The thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. And Jesus looked at him and said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. See, all around the cross were people who needed to be Christ followers. All around the cross were people who needed to be forgiven of their sins. All around the cross were people who needed to say, I have blown it, I have messed up, I am a sinner, I have hurt God, I've offended God, and quit excusing my sins, become clean. And God, I need you, I want you, please change me. We get the little peek there. Of the one guy who got it. And God changed his life. In the most unusual places. If God can change his life hanging on a cross, he can change your life today. He can change your friends and family's life next week. He can change people's lives next Saturday. Why did he do that? By his stripes. Because of what he did, your life can be different. He can change your life this morning. Would you bow your head and pray with me?